We are in a series of in Philippians, and what we're talking about, Paul is writing this letter reminding the church who they are and whose they are. And chapter 3, we started out with the idea of Paul gives us this litany of all the things he is and who he is. You want to say who's the best? Look, I am, because I was this. And he was showing us all of this lineage of his that made him really stand out. And so if you were going to judge him, well, you're not even a Jew. Oh, he was a Jew of Jews. Well, you weren't from the right line. Oh, I was from the tribe of Benjamin. Well, you weren't this. I was a Pharisee. I was the perfect kind of thing, the way that it would work out. And then he says, on top of that, he goes, you know what? I count all of that as, actually the translation is like dog dung. I count it as nothing. I count it as garbage. I counted it as sewage as up against to knowing Jesus Christ. And so he sets us up with that, but then he breaks it down into where we're going to go today, because accomplishments don't produce any lasting joy. I mean, I know for Eli and Jade, we said, man, you graduated from high school. What an accomplishment, right? And you had these parties, and it was pretty cool. But guess what now? Grow up. Start paying bills. Get a job. Go to school. It's like, okay, it's only short-lived. Those of us that buy a brand new car, what? Man, we're awesome. We drive it off of the thing. We think it's the only car like it, right? Until we start to drive, and then every car we see looks like the car we just bought. Our accomplishments don't really add up to this lasting joy. It doesn't produce or build faith or a relationship with God. It says in the scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the happiness of the Lord. We can be happy in the Lord, but happiness is going to change on our situations. After midnight, when people were blowing up cannons next to me, I wasn't happy about it. But I was still filled with joy that people were celebrating, in a sense. Margie thinks I'm crazy, you know. To go back in this one verse here, verse 7 in chapter 3. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Wow. It doesn't matter what we do, what we attain, how rich we become, how famous we become. None of that matters compared to knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay, so now everybody open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to pick it up in the second half, and I'm going to break it down for you. What are you striving for? What in your life is taking your time, your talent, your money, your energy? Is it Jesus, or is it rubbish? You know, Paul says everything is really rubbish compared to Jesus. So to really know him, not just know about him, but to know him and to intimately know him, to grow and to be more like him, to live in his power, not to struggle on our own. Are you living your life like that, or are you living your life chasing these dreams that will never, ever satisfy? Where are we at? Are we spiritually complacent? And that's what I wanted to talk about today. Are you satisfied with what you have, but not with what we've accomplished for his glory? You know, all I want is just peace and quiet in my house. Okay, you'll get peace and quiet in your house, but then what? You don't have any kids. You don't have any neighbors. You don't have any people that come and bother you. You're alone. It's never going to satisfy. Only our connection with Jesus Christ, only our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's look at verses 12 and 14. He says this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. Underline that. I press on. In other words, there's the struggle there. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it. I haven't made it yet on my own. I have made it my own, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is talking about a struggle here. He's talking about moving forward, not back. In fact, write that down. We want to go forward, not back. I heard, you know, this is why we don't have church signs out there. You know those churches you drive by and it says, CH, CH, what's missing? You are, you know, because it spells the word church, for those of you that are kind of slow there. Here, the idea is, I saw on a church sign, it says, don't live in the past because you can't do anything about it. Don't worry about the future because you can't really do anything about it. Live in the present because it's a gift. Get it? Live in the present, because it's a gift. See, that's why we don't have church signs, y'all. I'm telling you. Go forward, not back. Live in the present moment. Paul says this, I press on. I don't consider the things before. The scripture tells us over and over again, we used to be this way, but we're not anymore. So forget the past. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. Get rid of the old wineskins, become the new wineskin that God has made you, be filled with the Spirit, and go forward. And then he says, you don't just like lollygag into it. What does he say? I strain towards what's ahead. It is a strain. It is difficult to live a Christ-like life in today's society. We live in a society that says, do what you want. As long as you don't bother me about it, just do what you want. You could be whoever you want. You want to be a girl? Be a girl. You want to be a guy? Be a guy. You want to be a girl and a guy? Be both. Do whatever you want. It doesn't make any difference as long as you do it. Forget what was behind. We used to live in those sinful desires. We used to live for ourselves. We used to live for what we could get, for number one. But Jesus has given us a new life, and he says, look, we're going forward, not back. Look forward, not back. I heard a story, I think it was Christopher Columbus, actually, or might I don't know. It seems like one of the early explorers, when they got to the new land, what did they do? They burned the ships. Why did they burn the ships? So you couldn't just say, okay, I'm going back. I'm going back. What did the Israelites do? Oh, man, we're in slavery. We got to get out of slavery. Moses gets them out of slavery. God delivers them. And then what do? I wish we were back in Egypt. Man, at least we were fed. We were taken care of. We had blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like we keep looking back. In our minds, we are programmed to think of the past as the good old days. But how many of you, if you had an opportunity to go back to when you were 12 or 13 and your voice started to change and you started to get pimples and stuff, how many of you would go back? You know? We start to, the farther we get from that, we think like, oh, my high school was the best time of my life. Really? When you were asking girls out and they were telling you no? You know, when you were struggling just to make sure all your classes lined up, when you didn't get invited to a party, or you got invited to parties, or just craziness that was going on, we have this distorted view of the past. It's not all what it was cracked up to be. So forget the past and strain toward what's ahead. The second thing, write this down, don't become psycho. Actually, it's psyku. Remember, this is one of the words that Sandra taught us last week, psyku. It means, literally, it means if you have a hot soup and you take the spoon, what's the first thing you do? You blow on it to cool it off, right? The psyku means that it grows cold. You want to blow cold. It's blowing there. So don't become psyku. Don't grow cold. Let's see what it says in verse 15 and 16. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And that he's talking about not age. He's talking about in our faith. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal also to you only what? Let us hold true to what we have attained. Let us hold true to what we have attained. What is the faith? Don't let your faith grow cold. Hold fast. We're straining toward what's ahead, but we have to hold fast to what we believe. we're not like it says in Jude, where in those last days, people will come among you and they will think all kinds of things and they will say all kinds of things and they will take you all kinds, because that's what's happening. But Paul is saying, hold true to what we have attained. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. That's the Spirit doing work in you, saying, whoa, 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 what are you doing? What are you thinking? Go forward, not back. Don't be psycho. I kind of like that. Number three, imitate what is good. Imitate what is good. This is verse 17 through 19. Brothers, and he's talking about brothers and sisters. Brothers, join in imitating me. He's saying, be like me. That's what Paul is saying. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. In other words, look at good examples. Have good mentors. For many whom I've often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. This bothers me because I know pastors that are doing this. Imitate me, he's saying, the good example, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. In other words, follow these Christ-like examples. Because here's what. Many have come, and I told you that they would come, even with tears in their eyes. Now they walk as enemies of Christ. Look, you know, I used to believe this, but, you know, now I realize that if we look at the Bible, and then we look at some other old text, and then if we look at what science is saying, then the Bible's wrong in some places, and God is just love. And if God is just love, then we could do whatever he wants, because, or we could do whatever we want because love wins, right? No. God says, I come to judge. Jesus says, I will not leave the guilty unpunished. Our idea of love is based, well, it's like the prophet Boston says, it's more than a feeling, but we base it on a feeling. Oh, I love you, so I don't ever want to make you mad. Are you kidding? If you love your children, you're going to scream at them when they go running into the street. If you love somebody, you're not going to let them, like, stand too close to the fire. There are things that you are going to do that are going to seem like, well, obviously you don't love me. As a parent and as a child, I've said that. You know, Mom, can I have a go-kart? No, you don't love me. And Mom says, you're right. No, she said, I love you too much to give you a go-kart because I know what you're going to do with it. And you guys know me, you know, I wouldn't be here today, let's put it that way. And as a parent, I hear that from my kids. If you love me, you'll let me do this. What a distorted and despicable version of love we have. It's so warped. It's based on humanism. It's based on our feelings. And what we love today, we're not going to love tomorrow. You know, I've music has been a huge part of my life. There have been times when I'd be upset at someone in the family, or upset about a situation, or upset about something at school, and I would go down to my room and I'd crank my stereo up, and the song would start, and I'm mad, right? And then all of a sudden, a song would come on that I really like, you know, and I'd be singing, you know, dun, dun. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. Not really, that song kind of made me mad. But anyway, the idea is the song would come in and all of a sudden your whole emotion would change. And then that one song you love, you know, the one that you couldn't wait to hear every time it came on. Kyrie eleison down the road that I must travel. Every time it would come on, man, Mr. Mister. Man, I'd crank it up. Bump, 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 bump. But when they play it three times every hour, and they play it 3 weeks in a row, and then 4 weeks in a row, and then 5 weeks in a row, you start to say, like, oh gosh, change the channel. What I love today, I'm not going to love tomorrow. Jesus is constant. And Paul is saying, follow my example. Love God. Everything else is junk. Go forward, not back. Don't grow cold. Imitate what is good. Then this one, separate yourselves from the world. Separate yourselves from the world. Verse 20, but our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. In other words, the world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, in heaven. This isn't our home anymore. We are sojourners. We are travelers. We are visitors. We have been invited into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And now that I've gone to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. And there you will be with me. We have a home, but it's not here. This life we live is just this small thing in the span of time. Separate from the world. If I had all the riches the world had to give and I gave it all away, every penny to my name, it would never be enough to buy one splinter of the tree that Jesus died on. And it couldn't pay the price of one single drop of blood that was shed for my salvation. As a song, I think the cathedral sang that a couple times. The idea is, this is not our home. Separate from the world. And if we're separate from the world, you don't have to be like the world. You don't have to be like everybody else. Be different. Be weird. It's worked for me so far. Go forward, not back. Don't become psycho. Don't grow cold. Imitate what is good. Separate from the world. And then this, be transformed. Verse 21, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't matter what you think now. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Be transformed. Don't be conformed to the world today. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. We are to be different. And Christ is the one that changes us. The Holy Spirit in us gives us power and changes us. And that's good news. We're not the same old. We're different. We're new. We're new. So today, are you complacent? Take your spiritual temperature. The boiling point of water in Fahrenheit, I think, is 212. And so when it reaches 212, are you at 212? Are you running like at 98.6 and you're just going to stay there? I'm just lukewarm. We know what Jesus says about what he's going to do to people that are lukewarm, to people that are following him kind of halfway. Well, you know, I'll do it when I can, when I think about it, if it's convenient, if I want to, if I feel like it. No. Don't be complacent. Be different. Live life on the edge. Become everything that Christ has given you the power to be. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that today we would be the people that you have set us apart to be, that you have called us to be, that we would be, Father, the people that would live life differently. We would be salt to the earth, that we would be a city on a hill, a beacon of hope to people that are far from you. That the way we live our lives, that the words that we say, the things that we do, Father, would point people to a glorious God that loves them so much. Father, we thank you for your words of life. Father, we pray that you would continue to build in us, in each of us, Father, a hunger and a desire to get into your word and let your word speak truth and life over us. And as we celebrate our freedom as a nation, Father, this weekend, Father, help us to understand that it's in Jesus we are free indeed. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.